T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time to find out the latest from Green Bay with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by the Thomas Marola Law Offices.
Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Marola. Online at marolalaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
You can also find Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, on Twitter, BY Ryan Wood. And plastered all over the station throughout the week. Just little, 10, 15-minute interviews. But if you accumulate how much he's on in 1 week, let's say it's an hour and a half, it's still about twice as long as any Brett Anderson start. I don't like Brett Anderson. Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
Doing good, Bart. How are we doing?
Doing good. We're not going to talk about Rodgers' feelings today, so you can put those notes aside. I want to talk to you about this Packers-Niners matchup, Sunday Night Football. This is one of those games that, like in the NFL sometimes, an outcome looks so obvious one way. And I feel like the Steelers-Raiders might have been in this territory last week where everyone's like, oh, it's going to be the Steelers, of course, short week, Raiders, emotional game, on the road, travel. But the Raiders went in and beat the Steelers. So I'm trying to wonder, could this be one of those games where the result looks so obvious, Packers have to go back to San Francisco again, their defense is struggling, but maybe they'll get it done. I do think that there's a lot at play here for the Packers to be able to get a win. And I'll start on the defensive side of the ball. I don't know, man. I mean, I see like the Niners having like 8 different guys that run with the football. They're going to be doing Debo stuff. Trey Lance could get in there. And even if he's just in there, they'll overcommit to him. Jimmy Garoppolo is going to be on the move. Whoever they have at running back. I just think when you look at this matchup, the Niners offense against the Packers defense, I don't see how the Packers win on that side of the ball.
It's tough when you consider what the Packers defense has done through the first 2 weeks of the season, right? I mean, you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment, but the moment has been pretty bleak. So I guess if you parse it down a little bit more than just the broad view, the Packers defense did stiffen up after the first 4 possessions against the Lions on Monday night. I mean, they gave up 2 touchdowns and a field goal in the first 4 possessions. Nothing after that, nothing in the second half. So there was improvement. Matt LaFleur called it an upward trajectory, but it's not, that's not Kyle Shanahan's offense that they were going against. So it's going to be a very tall task.
If you're the Packers defense, is there like a priority you want to stop? Do you say, well, we got to stop the run? Do we got to stop Kittle? I just see like whoever they stop is going to open up somebody else having a big day against them. The Niners offensively, I don't see how they score any less than, 28 points.
Yeah, that's a great question. It starts with making the 49ers one-dimensional. Now, just the way it is with any offense. Now, which way they go on that is tough because on one hand, George Kittle could eat them alive. I mean, this is look what T.J. Hockenson did last week to him. This is a defense that historically has struggled against really good tight ends, struggled against George Kittle, and that's in the passing game, that's a place to start. But anyone that has any type of memory at all remembers what happened in that 2019 NFC Championship game against the run, against this Shanahan scheme that is very deceptive on the ground. A lot of very similar to Matt LaFleur's scheme, a lot of misdirection, a lot of camouflaging of what they're going to do. And they obviously, the most obvious statement you'll hear all day, they can't give up almost 300 yards on the ground again. So It starts with making them one dimensional. I'm not sure which way they go, because it's a tall task on either side.
This is a quote from Matt LaFleur after the Lions game. I'm just going to play it. People are like all worked up about it. Here's Matt LaFleur.
One of the things that certainly I talked to Joe about was, hey, either play coverage or we have to pressure, because when we were doing our four man rushes, and playing man coverage behind it, we weren't getting to the quarterback. So if you don't get him off the spot, Jared, I've been around Jared, and he will be efficient and he will make the throws. So we needed to affect the quarterback much more.
So the outrage from people is Matt LaFleur had to tell Joe Barry to rush more than four guys. Is that a big deal in Green Bay or not?
You know, everyone gets fixated on the start of that quote. I think the most important part of that quote and the most telling part of that quote is the end. We've got to affect the quarterback much more. Because in two games, the Packers haven't done it. They haven't affected the quarterback in two games. What was surprising to me is when you think about what coaching is, the definition of coaching is putting your players in position to succeed. It's knowing your personnel. And it's also knowing who's not your personnel. So the Packers defensive front entering the game against the Lions, Joe Barry knows that Darius Smith is on IR. He knows he doesn't have his game wrecker on the defensive front as far as pass rushing goes. And so you go in knowing you're shorthanded there. You're missing your best guy. You've got to be creative in the blitz package to get home on Jared Goff. You've got Kenny Clark, who is at times a dominant defender, but he's more of a run defender than a high volume sacks guy. You've got Preston Smith, who literally is coming off a year in which he took a pay cut for lack of pass rush. And then you've got Rashawn Gary, who has got his moments, but it hasn't been consistent yet. And those are your three guys. Without Darius Smith, those are your three guys as far as the pass rush goes. It's a huge drop off after that. You've got, with that personnel, you've got to get creative to get home on anyone. And Matt LaFleur said the Lions, you know, they've got a really good offensive line, and they do got a very solid offensive line. So the lack of knowing your personnel, maybe that's something that improves. You know, it's a new coordinator, but I was stunned that they didn't come into the game because of not having Zadarius Smith with more pressure packages, just because of the compensate for that. Regardless, they've got one team sack in two games. They have got to get more pressure on the quarterback, whoever it is.
Talking with Ryan Wood, PackersNews.com, Green Bay Press Gazette. So the Packers are going to face a situation they haven't faced in a while. They're going to go on the road on a true road game. I mean, they went on the road last year, but you know, people were still starting to trickle into the stands. Jacksonville obviously hosted the Saints game. You're going to have 80,000 Niners fans up for a big game. So either positively or negatively, I would ask you, who do you think it affects the most on the Packers? Does maybe Rodgers get charged up to play in this environment? I'm thinking about the offensive line, and they're young, and they've been playing all right, but do they have to go silent count, and they get kind of thrown off in that atmosphere? So who do you think the crowd, either in a good or bad way, is going to affect the most this weekend?
Well, I don't think the main question is the pre-snap operation. It's the communication, and especially with a young offensive line that has not been in this environment yet, it's going to really test them. And this is the first true road game that this team has played since before the pandemic. It's been a long time. They didn't have it at all last year, obviously. And it was supposed to be week one against New Orleans, but that game, because of Hurricane Ida, gets moved to Jacksonville, where there were more Packers fans than Saints fans, and was really a true neutral site game. So it's going, you know, Aaron Rodgers made it very clear this is going to be a challenge for them. He said that they've been working the silent snap count since midway through camp, and they've been preparing for this. And so, I mean, he's confident in the operation going in, but that it is going to, it's, It's the first game back for 49ers fans, too. It's first full game in the stadium. You know, Packers fans were tremendous Monday night against the Lions. It was a really awesome atmosphere. It's one of those things where, just from my perspective, I don't know, before going through the 2020 season and empty stadiums, I'm not sure I fully grasp just how much a full crowd adds to a game. I mean, you know it in your head, but you don't, without experiencing the other side and knowing that, you know, silence at a football game is really, really weird, I don't know if you can fully grasp it. So once that returns, it makes a huge difference. It was a huge difference Monday night. It's going to be a huge difference for the 49ers on Sunday night, and it's something that this Packers team is going to have to contend with.
No Rashawn Gary was at practice. No Elgton Jenkins, as I'm looking at the injury report. Is anything, do we need to worry about him? He was a DNP on Wednesday.
It sounds like it's definitely something to, at the very least, keep an eye on through the week. Matt LaFleur said Elgton Jenkins is going to get the week to show that he can play with that ankle injury that kept him out of practice. You know, what's interesting is Elgton Jenkins played all 65 snaps against the Lions. So I'm not really sure when the injury happened, but he clearly finished the game with it. That might give some hope that it's not too serious, that it would keep him off the field. But that's a huge deal for the Packers offensive line. I mean, Elgton Jenkins has been tremendous at left tackle, replacing David Bakhtiari. It's unnatural how good he has been as a natural guard, sliding out to the blind side. If they don't have Elgton Jenkins, most likely, I imagine they'll slide Billy Turner from right tackle to left tackle, which, other than when Billy Turner played against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, he played a fairly solid left tackle last year. He did it in the Week 17 finale against Chicago, and it held up pretty good. He did in the divisional game. And to Billy Turner's credit, every offensive lineman struggled against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last season, so he certainly had company. I imagine if without Elgton Jenkins, Billy Turner slides over to left tackle, and you've got Dennis Kelly, who the Packers added in camp for really this reason exactly, that give depth at right tackle. He's most likely going to be your starting right tackle.
Need a prediction from you, not on the game, but on this.
Hey, are you doing a mustache right now? I mean, if you go with that hair, mustache, sombrero.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, let's go. We're winning the Super Bowl. I mean, immediately, dude.
I don't think so. You know, I have a month ish until Halloween. And this has been a year in the making for my costume. I'm not going to give it away.
Wow.
But it's somebody who is a hero of mine who has, you know, long-ish hair.
What's your Halloween prediction on the costume?
It's a great question. I don't know. Jon Snow, he's a big Game of Thrones guy, right? I have no idea.
I think the Princess Bride, Inga Montoya, right? He's got long hair. I think that could be it.
I have a confession to make.
Yeah?
So I never trick-or-treated as a kid. Not one
time. I thought you were going to say, like, I haven't seen Princess Bride. I was going to be like, who cares? But you have never trick-or-treated as a kid?
First of all, that would be correct. I've never seen Princess Bride. Secondly, never trick-or-treated as a kid. So I'm like the worst person to ask about Halloween costumes.
What happened? Like, is this like a question where I'm like, why didn't you ever trick-or-treat as a kid? And I get like a whole backstory about how your childhood was terrible, or what? Well, how do you not trick-or-treat as a kid?
Well, do you have a couch somewhere we can know?
Wow.
No, just one of those odd, weird quirks about me. I never trick-or-treated as a kid.
Do your kids trick-or-treat?
They do. You better believe they do. And you know why they do? It's for them.
Okay.
But it's at least half for me, because, you know, I get to steal their candy and sneak behind their back, and they have no idea. So, unless they listen to this now, in which case, I'm sorry.
It is an odd concept. It is an odd thing we do, trick-or-treating.
Yeah, because, you know, you can just go to Walgreens and buy the candy. But
yeah, and then you got to be like, check your candy for razors. Because someone's so devious that the way they're going to get at you is They're going to buy Snickers bars, put razors in, and then put the wrapper back on. If that's what they wanted to do, they would just kidnap you in like July.
We will say that I heard that refrain as a child.
Yeah.
So.
Oh my God! One time we went to a house and they gave us like pencils and mini Bibles, and I was like, "Not today, lady. I'm looking for a baby Ruth."
This is the candy day.
Yeah, it's candy day.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan. Well, at least you get that moment with your boys, and if I'm in the neighborhood, I'll pop in at your house.
All right. Yeah. We do it big. It's kind of compensating for the lack of trick or treating when I was younger. But we do it big now. As far as Aaron Rodgers' costume, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. Just wanted to ask. And compensating, there's nothing wrong with compensating. That's the reason I drive a big truck.
There you go.
I'm just kidding. I drive a Hyundai. All right, Ryan. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
Ryan Wood joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're applying for a home renovation loan and you're a bit anxious, breathe. Let Great Midwest Bank help you experience a state of tranquility. Get started at greatmidwestbank.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.